it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh my life. As I live and breathe and tee off.
Huh.
Welcome back to Golfers Ruining My Life.
Yes, it is your favourite golf podcast as two blokes discuss the sport we both love and hate both at the same time. Mm. We're not like other golf podcasts because we're more like you, I would suggest. Mm. We're not professionals, but my God, are we trying to be?
Are you the guy, there's always a guy in every club who thinks they could be a professional.
That's not me, that's you.
Yeah,
that's the character distinction here, is I know I'll never be that good. You think you can be that good, and you could be that good.
I mean, obviously I can't be a professional, but there is a moment, isn't there, in every childhood golfer where they discover that they're not going to be a pro. I wonder what that moment is. I know what mine is. It's where I snapped a putter with rage.
You knew at that point, I will never be a professional golfer.
I thought, I can't be a pro. I cannot do this to myself. And I was quite young. I was still like 14. I was very self-aware. I'm not sure this would be a great career choice.
I remember having a conversation, because I never had that moment, because I never wanted to be a professional golfer enough to have the realization of, I'm not going to make it. I once had a long chat with Peter Finch from golf YouTube fame. And I said to him, there must be a moment when you're sort of knocking on the door, but not really, where you have that realization of, this is not going to happen for me.
Yeah.
I remember him saying it sort of dawned on him quite slowly, because even up until a few years ago, he was still playing professional competitions. And
yeah, of course.
I love Peter Finch. He's such a good golfer. Like off that YouTube lot of golfers, he's definitely one of the best of the YouTube golfer world. But I remember him saying, yeah, there was a moment sort of gradually where I was like, oh, this might not happen for me.
And is it because other people are doing so well or because you're not doing well enough?
I reckon it's when you compare yourself to other golfers. Because that's the thing. When you're the best in the club, when you're like 14, 15 and you're the best in the club, you look around and I bet you're like, I reckon I could make a career from this.
Yeah.
And then you go to uni in America or whatever and you see everyone else and you go, oh, that's the mark.
It's every time you take the next step.
Yeah.
And the elitism increases. And the numbers get smaller, the people who are still there. It's, you know, it's like going through a knockout tournament, right?
Mm.
That's how it works. It's like when you're at school and you're the best at geography in primary school, and then you go to big school and you're still the best, and then you go to sixth form with geography, or whatever the topic is, and then uni, and like, it's just going to keep getting knocked down. But, you know, it's also a matter of just going, I can still do stuff with it. I can still get loads from it, even if I'm not going to be a high-end pro.
But I think you get to a certain stage with golf or a certain level where there's golfers that I've spoken to, whether it's like Challenge Tour stuff or trying to get onto Challenge Tour or trying to get their card through Q School.
Yeah.
Speak to some of them golfers and whether this is their arrogance and this isn't true, but I do believe it. They say, I'm as good as those guys. Like I've got the same game as them. It's just not all come together for me yet. Or this is the reason or that's the reason, but the game is there.
Yes.
And a lot of the time, from conversations I've had with them, they just think their head's not there.
Mm.
Their ability to strike a ball's there, but their mental game's not there.
If there was one thing I would add to every single clubhouse in the country, it would be a psychology room before you go on the course. It would be a small space where if you needed to, if it's a really big round, you just go and you sit on some beanbags, get a gong bath up and running, have a little chill, take a moment, maybe do a yoga pose, maybe say namaste.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? I think it could change so many people's golf if they did that. So many people.
I always play my worst when I know it means something.
Yeah.
Or when it means too much to me, or I've put loads of practice in. I think that's when I play my worst golf is when I go into the game going, okay, I've put all my hours into this.
Man.
I've been on the driving range. This is the day that I'm going to shoot my low score. It's all that pent up energy and all that.
Because she knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
She knows you're trying to look good for her.
Yeah.
But she knows you've still got a hairy back and you fart. So she knows she's not going to love you back. That's the problem, guys. Golf's never going to love you back.
And talking about golf arrogance, I played golf last week and I took out with me 3 balls.
You took out with you what, 3?
3 balls. That's it.
You took 3 balls?
3 golf balls.
That's because you knew there'd be a shop there where you could buy more golf balls.
No.
How many balls did you come back with?
One. And I actually found one. So technically I used 4 golf balls. No, I used 3 golf balls that round, but yeah. I found one.
I know someone who, every time he plays golf, he walks down the rough. He's quite good. Hits it down the middle a lot. But he'll walk towards his ball in the middle of the fairway via the light rough. He hasn't bought a golf ball for 20 years.
He just collects them.
Just sees them. Especially if you go out first thing in the morning. Because they're all there from the night before. People who played late in the evening. If you go on a Monday morning after a big tournament on the weekend at your course, you can find golf balls everywhere.
I do regret the amount of money that I spent on Pro V1s when I first started playing golf.
Mate. It is, I've got to be honest, buying crazy expensive balls when you're off anything from 6 up, anything above 6, I'd say handicap-wise.
Yeah, it's not worth 5. It. It's not worth it, is it?
It's like people on, it's like a fat middle-aged man getting on a bike and putting Lycra on for the marginal gains.
Yeah.
It's not going to make a difference, Terry.
See my Instagram sort of 2020 during lockdown. There is exact photo you have just described on my Instagram.
You're definitely not middle-aged. So, nor were you fat. Yeah. But, God, it's eggshells. But I would say that, I mean, this is a great question, isn't it? When do the marginal gains with golf really kick in? How good do you have to be for those balls? Because we know balls might feel different and you might feel it when you chip, you might feel a softer ball. But in terms of getting better scores and playing better, I don't think it's until your handicap's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that you really start to feel that. If you're off anything definite, 12 or 13, and I give you a pinnacle and the next day I give you an old top flight, it's not going to be a massive difference.
Yeah, that is such a good question. What handicap you need to have for the balls to make a difference in your game.
I think everyone on TikTok will agree with me with that as well. I can't see anyone getting angry in the comments and saying how good they are at golf. No, I don't think anyone will do that.
People will be fine with you. I've got a bit of a rant though.
Oh, lovely.
I've got a little rant.
Oh, wonderful. Kick back and relax, everyone. Tom Green rant. By the way, can I just say very quickly?
Yeah.
We need to chat more about Portugal. So, is that what the rant
is? This happened in Portugal.
Great.
So my rant is Portugal based.
In Portuguese?
It's not in Portuguese.
Sad.
So we were probably the third tee time off on Monday morning. And then there was we were supposed to be paired with these two blokes who actually went out ahead of us, which was really good. And they must have been early 20s, okay? And I think there is a bit of a thing when people take up golf in their 20s that they're not taught all the lessons that you're taught as a junior golfer. And you
one
don't
of my favorite topics.
And all the things that your parents instilled in you, or when I was a junior, there was first time at golfer academy I went to at Preston Golf Club, which taught me how to rake a bunker, taught me the etiquette of golf, all this sort of stuff. And I think if you join golf in your 20s, you learn your lessons from YouTube golf, probably.
Can I just say I'm getting whiplash here because I'm nodding so hard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And these golfers went out before us.
Oh, God, I'm already annoyed.
Right? And they were young. They were in the 20s. They had good, fast swings. So I was like, oh, I bet these guys are pretty good. And we were walking over to tee, and I said to Keith, who I was playing with, I said, do you know what? I just want to play off the yellows today.
Yeah.
I've not played in ages. I just want to play off the yellows. I want to make this really easy for myself. I want to enjoy this.
I'm on holiday playing with my future father-in-law.
Yeah.
I'm going to play off a sensible tee. Don't tell me these guys are off the blues or the whites.
So these guys were playing off the whites right at the back. So you
fine.
There's nothing wrong with playing off the whites at all. So I presumed as they teed off, because we were walking towards them, we saw them tee off on the whites. I was like, oh, they must be really good golfers. And they proceeded to hack it round the golf course. And every single time we stood on the tee, we were on the yellows, they were on the whites, they'd bashed it 180 yards, left and right and left and right, constantly trying to find golf balls. And I think that's because if you learn your golf from YouTube golf, you watch all these people, whether it's Rick or Pete or the good guys, you watch them all tee off from the whites and go, well, that's what we're going to do. Or you see Eric Anderslang, who does a thing called playing from the tips. So you play right from the back. There's nothing wrong with doing that when you can do it.
But as I've said before, it doesn't matter if you spray it everywhere, if you're quick.
Yep.
this is the thing. So if you aren't that good, and as long as you're not leaving the course hacked up, I mean, that's a whole different thing if you're leaving massive marks everywhere. But if you are not that great, but you're still playing a hole in the same time, you go for it, man. I don't care.
Yeah.
If I'm getting stuck behind you because you've made stupid choices because you think you're something you're not, I'm going to get really cross.
And that's what it was. And yeah. It's hard to work out whether they're playing slow or not, because it was just... It takes time to find a golf ball that isn't in the fairway.
Yes, no, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and but that's when you think, why are you looking? Mate, why are you looking? What are you doing? Is this card going in? No. Is it your medal? No.
And they go down the rough on the left-hand side, and then they hit it out to the rough on the right-hand side, and then they go in the bunker on the left-hand side, and they go the bunker. This is not about trying to put people off golf, because everyone should play golf, but it's just about learning the lessons as to what tees you should be off, and making the game better for yourself. You would have had much better experience playing off the yellows.
Well, would their tees have made that much difference?
They were a good 30, 40 yards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was a big difference between the yellows and the whites. We played Valdelobo, and there was a significant difference.
Why would they do that? Did you ask to play through?
No, we didn't ask to play through. We weren't in a massive rush, and fundamentally, there was no one pushing behind us, so we didn't feel the pressure. I just thought it was really interesting, because... For years, I wouldn't go anywhere near the whites because I didn't think I was good enough.
I do enjoy standing on a tee and watching a hole play out, watching someone play, and criticizing and slagging off every single thing they do. Really going deep. They are terrible people. Who are these absolute cretins? And then within 10 minutes, I'll be doing exactly the same.
Oh, with the exact same. But at least we played off the yellows. At least we gave ourselves an opportunity to get down towards...
No, it's true. I agree with you.
It's a really interesting one.
So what's the solution? The solution is that, as you say, you go and do lessons when you join a club, you do academy stuff, and they take a bit of time to teach you about those things. Because, you know, you've got to learn the stuff about the bag goes over there. You've got to learn the stuff about you don't need to take that long over that shorter part. You've got to learn the stuff about four or five backswings is rude.
It's too many backswings. Yeah.
I don't care. You've got to learn all this. You've got to learn the stuff. And I speak as someone who's had to learn this myself. If you start kicking off and you're playing with people you don't know that well, it's out of order. You have to be polite and respectful. And you have to have someone tell you those things. Here are the, I don't know, three bullet points, four bullet points. You can't just go out and do it, because it ruins it for everyone else. And that can then feed into the elitism of golf. And that's always a problem.
I just think it's that. I know the exact type of golfer it is.
Yeah.
It's the golfer who has played for maybe 4 or 5 years, is young, so they hit the ball an absolute mile. Yeah,
but that can make it worse.
Well, totally worse.
Because they spray it everywhere. Yeah.
And because of this, they go, oh, I'm going to go from the tips. I'm going to go right from the back. And it just is a nightmare. It was just really interesting to see these guys play off the whites, but really, really struggle. I just thought, what on earth are you... Are you doing that
but
for?
Also, I would say golfers love a moan. You know, if I can have a good solid whinge about some prevailing weather condition, someone who's slow, someone who's quick behind me maybe, it just helps to focus the mind for my round of golf. I feel like it's a nice sort of rut to get into. Here's a deep psychological leap. If you feel a bit begrudging about something that's going on the golf course, noise or whatever, it offers up the excuse for it not to go well. If everything is perfect, perfect weather, perfect conditions, and you play badly, it's your fault. If there's problems, it's not your fault, and you can weirdly enjoy it more. There is actually sense to it.
I said this to someone the other day when I was playing. I said, as much as I hate playing in winter, at least it gives me an excuse.
Yeah.
I sort of hate playing in the height of summer when everything's perfect. And I can go, well, do you know what? This is probably relatively the same conditions that the pros play in. Still shanked it.
What is your favorite excuse in golf? Mine is wet. I'll be like, it's just wet. Even when it's just dew on the ground, I'm like, it's just the balls are very wet at the moment. So it's just not going to work for me today. I use it all the time. Play quite well with it. But it just means I've got my defense ready for when it all goes wrong.
My favorite excuse in golf is probably I've not practiced enough.
Yeah.
Which is just true
it's
for me.
True.
I've just not played enough. I haven't been out there enough.
But you know, those rounds where you rock up after 3 or 4 weeks of not playing golf, you know, as long as you don't do that in the middle of summer, which is a bit sad to miss out on those golden days. But if you rock up having not played much, you will often play pretty well. Your short game will be rubbish, but you'll often play some good stuff.
How do you feel about getting paired with randoms?
Yeah, it depends what it's for. So if I'm doing, say, the medal, and a random gets chucked in. I love it. That's great because I'm not there to socialize. I'm there to try and hit a good score. If I'm playing 18 holes with a mate and we're going to knock it about, we might chuck a couple of balls down. We're golf nerds. You know, you and I will be talking about a new type of chipping we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And someone else joins, I'm really cross because it's just going to be awkward, right? Because they're going to expect things. So it really depends on the round of golf. Why did you get paired with the random?
Well, we were supposed to be with those two guys.
Oh God, what would that be like?
It would have been really difficult, I think. And it would have slowed the round of golf down. This is what the best thing about, we teed off at 7:30 a.m. on a Monday morning. We played a championship course in 3 hours and 20.
That's amazing. Were you in buggies?
Yes. We flew round because there was no one behind us. And although these guys were holding us up, we weren't waiting on every shot. Yeah. It was mostly you'd walk up to the tee and you wouldn't be able to tee off instantly. You'd wait 2 minutes and you were fine.
Right. I've got a big question for you.
Yeah.
And I want you to answer it after the breaks, but I'm gonna ask the question now.
Yeah.
How did you play?
Okay, yeah, cool. Well, we'll have an ad break and we'll find out, won't we?
He looks upset already.
No, it's not good stuff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to part two of Golfers Ruining My Life. Tom Green, how did you play?
Can I answer that question in 1 second?
Ah! Okay.
I want to answer that question in 1 second because I just really want to underline the point that I'm trying to make with these golfers that were ahead of me. My issue wasn't that they were slowing my round down. That's not my big point here, is they were slowing my round down. This is really annoying.
Okay.
It's the... why are you playing off whites? I think it's a misunderstanding of what the tees are for. And I think you'd have a much better round of golf if you played off yellows, but it is their round of golf. Who am I to dictate them?
I mean, for me, it's all about timing, but I can see why that would annoy you. Did you not think to ask them?
No.
Did you chat to them afterwards? Did you see them afterwards?
No.
Just gone.
We're just gone. Yeah, they were gone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is that because you were just giving them the finger every time you saw them?
Guys, just so you wait, finish this 18 and I'll chat to you. No, they just zoomed off. I got 26 points on a Stableford match.
Wow. That's your how did the Portugal golf trip go, isn't it? In a sentence.
But I loved it. I really enjoyed a round of golf.
Did Keith beat you?
We shot the exact same score, but he has a higher handicap than me.
So what were you over at the end then?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
20, I was given 12 shots.
You did well not to lose more balls in that case.
I didn't lose hardly any balls.
Well, you told me. You went out with three, came out with one.
So lost three balls.
Yeah.
Went in the water twice.
Yeah.
I played okay.
Yeah.
But you've not played
for ages. There's the excuse. There it is, ready to go.
I have not played for ages, but it's...
And how was the weather?
The weather was majestic, was amazing. It was
shorts?
Warm. I wore my new Puma white trousers.
Did you wear the new shoes?
Yes. Because it was perfect conditions for new golf shoes. I think this is where me and you sometimes differ with our golf. Mm. That I'm really happy that I've got to a point where I can go out and play and shoot. What did I probably shoot? 14 over?
Yeah.
No, maybe work. No, way worse.
14 over with a couple of lost balls or something. So
I was all right with it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I hit some really nice golf shots. It was fun. It was enjoyable. It was a bit scrappy in places. I made a few mistakes, but I really enjoyed it. Although the score is a bad score.
But it's interesting, isn't it? For every round of golf, before you play, you should ask yourself one question. What do you want today? What do you want? You're in Portugal with your father-in-law. You just want to have a nice time. You don't want him to see you getting angry. Wait till you've got married.
Yeah.
For that stuff to happen. Wait till
the truth is coming.
Yeah, wait till you've got his grandkids and he sees what an angry person you are. That's fine. That's down the line. You want to have a good time. You want to hit some good shots. You want to be able to go, I've lost a ball. I'm going to drop a ball here. I'm not walking back to the tee, blah, blah, blah. No. And sometimes you might turn up and go, what do I want? Well, it's my third round of golf this week. I'm playing with two really good golfers. The conditions are perfect. I want to shoot three over par or whatever it is. I think it's really good to ask yourself that, because otherwise you can just keep barreling along, and before you know it, you're angry and you're disappointed, and that can be a shame.
Yeah, that's what I just don't need. I just don't want, I never enjoy those rounds of golf.
No.
But it means so much to me, and I've not put any practice in, so why on earth do I think I'm going to shoot a good score? To go into a round of golf like that and then get angry when I'm in Portugal and the weather's amazing. Yeah. I think if you do that, you've completely missed the point of what that round of golf should be.
Yeah.
And we were having a match play game and he beat me on 17.
Oh, that's great.
Great.
That's great. And you've got to let him beat you. He's your father-in-law.
Exactly.
Come on.
But no, it was lovely. And it was lovely to wear nice golf shoes and not have them covered in mud. And it was just a nice indication of golf in summer to come.
At any point, did you hit a shot that was okay, went a bit right of the green on, say, for example, a par three, but landed in a puddle of mud that was so wet the ball disappeared and you didn't find it?
No.
Can I tell you how many
autobiographical?
Can I tell you how many times that happened to me the other day?
Yeah, go on.
I'm playing really nice golf at the moment. Four times.
Do you lose your ball?
I mean, it's gone.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I've hit it effectively into, it looked like the river in Wonka.
Right.
River of chocolate.
Brown river.
But just not terrible shots, just a bit to the right or left of the green, because obviously I'm using the cone now. We talked about that on the last episode.
Yeah, we did.
A lot.
Yeah.
And it's fine. I'm going to chip on from there and get up and down, and it's disappeared. It's just gone. So I think in the summer, like, you know, like when the dead bodies emerge when the snow melts in autumn, I think in the summer the balls are just going to go kind of sort of blossom out.
There
the
they all are.
I think so, because they're in there. There's loads of them subsumed in this mud.
If you could find it, you would get free relief from that, though. I think standing water would give me a free relief near the hole.
Yes, you would. Yeah, yeah.
But you just can't find the ball, so it doesn't matter.
The plugging, I find nothing funnier than hitting a ball into a wet fairway, especially when it's happening to someone else, preferably not me. It's the funniest thing in the world when someone hits a really good shot and it flies through the air and it bounces at a really good spot. It doesn't bounce, it just goes, it just stops.
Lost.
It sort of looks like the ball's gone, nah, I'm not interested. It's not going to work.
Liv's coming to JCB.
When?
Do you know about this?
No.
So the LIV Tour is no longer going to be at Centurion and is coming to the JCB this summer. And this is quite exciting, I think, because a lot of people love and know the JCB, but my God, is it a hard course to get onto.
Oh.
So this will be, for a lot of people, their only way of getting a glimpse at the JCB.
Because the JCB is very, very... I don't want to say sort of closed doors because that's a bit of a negative connotation, but it's quite, it's a special course and you can't just rock up and say, hi, can I get, I don't care what the green fees are. I want to play. It's not quite how it works, is it?
No, you can't do it. You can only get onto the JCB if someone invites you onto the JCB.
Mm.
And because of that, it's really created this aura around it of, oh my God, what's it like? And a lot of the YouTube golfers have played there. So you've only ever seen it online and you can't go and look at it.
Yeah.
But if you want to go to the JCB, this summer would be a really good time of getting into it and having a look.
Should we try and play the JCB before Liv go there?
I would love that.
I might be able to make that happen.
Yeah?
I think I can make that happen.
I played it last year.
I know you... did you?
Yes, I did.
You never mentioned it when you put your JCB hat on.
Thank you. I actually watched a video of...
That is your Dornoch, by the way. That is your Dornoch.
I watched a video of Dornoch last night and it does look incredible.
It is amazing.
I didn't really realise how good it was until I watched this video of Dornoch last night because the guys from Manners Golf are there.
It's the closest I've come to crying on a golf course.
It's amazing. Yeah. It looks amazing. Anyway, I would love to play JCB again. We should try and make that happen. It is the best round of golf I've ever had.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. If you want to if you want to go and look around it and have an experience of what the JCB is like, Liv are going to be there.
So is it the sort of course where it's good to walk around and look, just to look at is amazing? Because obviously playing it's great. And I've seen the video of it on YouTube and stuff. It looks incredible.
Yeah.
But is it a nice, beautiful course to walk around and look at?
There's a lot of really special holes on it, especially 17. Obviously, everyone knows about 17.
That's the par three, right?
That's the downhill par three, 200 yards over the water, which, funnily enough, wasn't actually in the original golf course grounds.
Oh.
So when the designers were given JCB to build, they plotted it all out and they went, do you know what? We're really missing a signature hole. We've not got a signature hole here. What are we going to do?
Oh.
And the design, it was European golf course designed. They pointed out, a little bit of land just in one of the fields, just outside of the golf course, and went, that would be an amazing par three. And I think Lord Bamford, who owns JCB, was just like, I'll just buy it.
Give me a second. Where's my checkbook, darling?
Yeah.
Don't care if it's the joint account. Come here. Wow.
And bought it. And then that's that signature hole. But there is loads of holes that are taken from different golf courses. So I think it's like the 14th looks really like the start of Amen Corner in Augusta, has the sort of bending par four over a little river, sort of Rays Creek vibe.
Hey, that's cool.
It's a great course. And if you really want to go, Liv is doing it. So it's a really good way in.
In July?
In summer.
It's in summer. All right. Okay, fine.
I think I know what Liv's next purchase might be as well.
Are you talking about a person, a human? What then? What?
Callaway Golf is up for sale.
Wow. That's interesting.
So Top Golf and Callaway, which is one company, they're three major shareholders who own the majority of it, are trying to get out and trying to sell it. It is a bit of a no-brainer for Liv to buy it, don't you think?
How much is being asked for Callaway Golf at the moment?
I have no idea.
Oof.
But don't you think, imagine that. Imagine what that would mean. So Liv buys Callaway, Top Golf.
Mm.
All of a sudden, one of the teams is Team Callaway.
One of the teams
is Team Top Golf.
Yeah.
It starts to all make sense a little bit.
It's almost like they've got a plan.
I mean, I'm speculating. I don't know that they're going to buy it, but I just think it would make sense for them to buy it. Because as soon as
it's a huge brand, Callaway.
It's a huge brand. And that's what the team aspect of Liv is missing. It's missing a tie-in to get you.
Yeah.
Like, who cares whether, like, no, none of the teams have that tie-in aspect yet.
Why isn't there a more regional match play thing with golf? So obviously the Ryder Cup is regions against each other.
Yeah.
But why isn't there, say in the UK... Why isn't there a golf with Wales, Scotland, maybe even bits of England, Northern England, Southern England? That would be because you're talking about the tie-in and the attachment to.
Yeah.
So, like I've got with a football club,
mm-hmm.
why doesn't golf look at that? Because team golf, as we have said so many times, is incredible. The Ryder Cup is amazing.
There is a junior level.
Interesting.
Massive in the junior level. So,
yes.
if you play for England boys.
Yes.
It's the big, they're called like nationals or nations competitions. Yeah. Those are the big ones. Your big England versus Scotland or England versus Italy, I think is one of them. Those are the really big ones that you want to get into and play.
As a kid, I played in the West of England foursomes, I think it was. And that was great fun. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But why that? Because then you'll get that connection with a team. And that's when golf becomes a whole new level when you're watching team stuff happen with golf. It's just it's such a shame that the true purest version of team golf only happens with Sondheim and Ryder every couple of years.
Yeah. Because people love the Ryder Cup. People
love the Sondheim Cup.
Yeah. I would love to see more of it, but it doesn't really get much pull in on the PGA Tour though, does it? If you look at the events that are outside of your normal stroke play events, is it the Dell Match Play?
Yeah, but aren't they getting rid of that soon?
I think they're getting
rid of it. Maybe it's gone now even.
Yeah, it might even be gone. But look, those non-stroke play events don't get that much love. Some of them are already there. But golf, nation golf is done a lot more in junior golf.
I know it's sort of distant history now a bit, but TPC, weekend before last, watching Scottish Scheffler win was absolutely brilliant. What a Sunday. But I did miss, no offence to Wyndham Clark and the rest of the pursuing pack. Xander Schauffele, most miserable man in golf, do we think?
Doesn't care, does he?
He just looks very unhappy.
Yeah.
Just have a hug, mate. Have a week off and get a cuddle.
He's in the shadow of Scheffler, though, isn't he? That's the problem.
Yes, he really is.
Both name-wise
and
golf vibe-wise, he is in the shadow of Scheffler.
You get the feeling he walks into a room and thinks people say, no, Scheffler.
Yeah.
He thinks people are about to say that and looks a little bit sort of...
Not me again.
He just looks like... But I feel like I enjoyed the TPC, but I miss Rory doing better. I miss Rahm. I miss Tyrrell Hatton. I miss Cam Smith.
Yep.
It's
sad. Masters is coming.
Masters is coming. We're not allowed to talk about it too much yet.
No, but
we're
going to
hold off, but it's coming.
Have you seen the food box they're doing?
Oh my God.
So cool.
This is always the first port of call for the Masters. This is the food box. This is our entry level into the Masters to find out what's going on, is to talk about the food box available.
I've never done it. I really want to do it. We've spoke about doing it for this show, is doing a taster of it because it looks so exciting. All the classic food that you can get at the Masters, they will deliver to your house for Masters Sunday. So the iced tea, and is it the egg sandwiches as well? All that stuff you can have in a big box at your house on Masters Sunday.
Oh, I'd like it to come with a green bib. Do you know what I mean? So I can just sit eating, just covered in my own food filth, just with a little Masters emblem on it. I think that'd be great.
What an image that is.
Oh,
sorry.
Sitting in my own mess. A nice image to sort of nearly end the show on, by the way, because we're nearly there now for this episode.
One final question.
Go on.
You've had a hole in one.
Two.
You've had two hole in ones. Hey, that guy.
And you, I've not had one for like nearly 20 years now.
Oh, so you were a junior when you had...
My first one I had when I was 13.
Okay.
And my second one I had when I was 21.
Did you do anything after your 21st when you were 21 and you had a hole in one?
Yeah, I went crazy.
As in, did you go back to the clubhouse and buy everyone a drink?
I was playing in Leamington at a municipal course and it wasn't that sort of clubhousey vibe kind of place, you know? So no, I didn't really. And I certainly didn't when I was 13. Actually, maybe 14. But no, I didn't then when I was a junior either.
Because a lot of talk of that tradition dying. People not really doing it anymore.
Well, a lot of clubs will put a bit of money behind the bar for you. So they'll stump up a little bit of cash as well. So they'll sort of go halves with you on buying stuff. But if I did it now, I would 100% doing it. But can you imagine doing it? A, at a really expensive course.
Yeah.
Where drinks are expensive. Or B, at a big day at your club. Like imagine it's the club champs day and everyone's playing.
Because everyone would know as well. If it was club champs day and it was a competition, you did it in a competition, the rumour would spread around. Holy one. Can you believe it?
Do you know how they would know?
No.
Because I would tell them.
Yes, you would tell them.
That's how that would work.
Guys!
Hey, sorry, can you... That happened to me when I was playing with my kid once. We played the ninth, par five, and I got an eagle. And my son stood there going, my dad got an eagle! Because he thought it was a hole-in-one. He was so excited about it.
That is cool, though.
I glowed. I think it's the only time he's ever been impressed with me.
Mm. Chip in?
No. I hit a great drive, great three woods, and then I hold a 10, 11-foot putt.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't it?
It's very nice.
That is really cool.
It was a casual eagle, if there is such a thing.
Yeah. I just don't know whether if I got a hole-in-one, I would do the going to the clubhouse and doing the whole drink thing. I just don't know if it's a... whether people still do it or not.
I've seen people do it. I've been in the clubhouse when someone got a hole-in-one on a par four at our place.
Right, so talk me through how that went down.
He sidled up to me and said, can I get you a drink, please? And I said, oh, that'd be lovely, thank you very much. And he was basically at the bar and just going from... He was waiting at the bar and everyone who came to the bar, he was going up to them and offering to buy them a drink. It was lovely. It was a really nice thing. It was special. It was on a par four.
God, that is cool.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
The 10th?
At the 10th, very short par four. Yeah. I was on the green when it happened.
Wow.
I saw it going. So that's how he was playing it. Because you sort of imagine, like, would you walk in and go, ladies and gentlemen?
That's what I mean. Is there a bell? You go, it's only one.
Well, there is a bell in the clubhouse. All the bells have got a clubhouse, haven't they, for speeches and all that nonsense. So you'd go and ring the bell. And you'd say, maybe you'd say there's like a 10-minute window for this. Oh, in 10 minutes and it's 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, everyone's like a wedding. No champagne, no doubles.
Yeah, exactly.
About, the rest I'll pay you for. Because you get insurance as well now. You can get hole-in-one insurance, apparently. I don't know how you claim on that. How does that even work?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think they'd look at your card and your premiums would be very low.
Is that us?
Yeah, that is us. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure you subscribe. Go and check us out on the TikTok and the Instagram. It's at Golf is Ruining My Life, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Something like that. Anyway, you know where we are. We know where you are. That sounds
creepy. We also want people to go and check out our YouTube channel because we're putting loads on there at the moment, including all of these episodes are filmed. So if you want to go and see stuff that maybe is edited out of the audio version or you just want to watch us, because I've started watching YouTube on my TV.
Yes.
I like doing that. If I'm doing a little bit of housework, I'll just put Rick on my TV.
Very Gen Z.
Yeah,
very big Gen Z. Fan of that. If you want to pretend you're cool and Gen Z, watch YouTube on the telly. Make sure you've got Golf is Ruining My Life on.
We're on TikTok. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And the Toms at golfisruiningmylife.co.uk is the place to go for all emails. We need to do an email special.
We'll do that. There's a lot of emails that have come in. We will take a moment and we'll do an email special soon. Probably not next week, but the week after, I reckon.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.